Because does anyone like it? The day that I don't do it.
Yep.
Okay, this is the Netherlands Fire Protection District Board of Directors regular meeting on October the 20th, 2021. This meeting is being recorded and is, we are unmuted. Start with roll call. Ian Owen Powell, I am present. Todd Wiesler.
Present.
Guy Fawcetti.
Present.
Jess McElvain.
Present.
If I get it wrong, you've got to pull me up every time. Russ Patterson.
Present.
And Acting Chief Smithman.
Present.
So we have a full board, so we have quorum. Calling this meeting to order at 7:19:03. I posted the agenda Monday, I think. I made a couple of additions this evening. We need to talk about the bunker gear order. I realized today there's a little tweak in that occurs that we need to talk about. And I had a quick conversation about some changes to the way that we're intending to pay our shift officers that I've been working on. Other than that, it was as posted. So I'm going to make the motion to approve the meeting agenda.
I'll second.
Todd?
Yes.
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 And also, yes. I sent out some meeting minutes. My glass of steam up here. I sent out the meeting minutes for September the 2nd, September 24th, and October the 6th. It's everybody who was on appropriate meetings get to read those and check through them.
Yeah.
Is everybody happy with the ones that applied to them?
I move that we accept them as a bulk.
Okay. I will second the motion.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
Yes.
Also a yes. I don't see any public on our meeting. I hope I posted the right meeting ID. I'm sure I did. Anybody in the room have any public comment that they would like to make at this point? Okay, I'll take that as a no. We can move on to the treasurer's report. So, second.
Okay, so our total funds are $681,682,000. We have $657,000 in savings and $18,000 in checking. We have our reserve of capital reserve of $6,580. Grant match reserve has been reduced down to $20,000, as we had agreed some time ago to do after we paid off the life or made our payments for life packs and received our payment from the state, our reimbursement from the state. And then we're carrying $107,000 reserved for payroll and operating that is basically fail safe for when we get into those lean months late this year and early next year when our tax revenues are not coming in as healthy as they do earlier in the year. And we have 44,000 sick and vacation reserve, $2,500 in water systems, and about $30,000 in Tabor. So our total reserve is $210,000. We still have receivables, wildland receivables. That was really for September. Of course, I believe that those pretty much have been received. We'll see that in October.
Todd, are the water system cisterns? There's something else?
Maybe Ian, you can answer that question.
Yeah, so the water systems is basically for anything water-based, so cisterns, tenders. So last year we bought a replacement tender from our Half of it is from our water systems fund.
I saw that. Okay, thank you.
And then in accounts payable, we have $21,000 outstanding. Total unreserved funds is $476,000. And I already talked a little bit about the wildland deployment that we've got billed and expecting that to come back to us. And I would just put a comparison in here to kind of check against last year. Total funds last year were $664,000 at this time, so we're a little ahead of that. And then the total unreserved funds at that time was $320,000, whereas now it's $476,000. Any questions?
Are you going to get projected revenue?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get to income.
I've got a comment, actually. We need to increase this number.
Because we increased our payroll?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So basically, that's supposed to cover 2 months of payroll costs. So we need to calculate those out from the budget and then just increase that.
Yeah, so this is a report on income. We didn't have any other types of income other than our tax revenue. But you can see our tax revenue is about $21,000, a little over $21,000. And we're getting into the months where we're seeing less of that. To date, we received $948,000, which is 96% of our total expected income of $983,000. I didn't, when you sent the, there was something we received, there was nothing attached, so I didn't really see that. I think that you said it wasn't reported in this financial, so I figured it was some tax, it's tax revenue statement. Do you remember what that number was by any chance?
No.
Okay, well, we'll see it next month.
Actually, no, I spoke to Kathy about it earlier. I think it's just over $7,000.
Okay.
The treasurer's report from the county came in to the admin email box and hadn't made it to me or Kathy.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it wasn't that much. It's that kind of lean end of the year where things start to tail off. But based on what we see there, we're pretty much on target to hit the end of the year.
Yeah, in the fourth bullet there, last year between October and December, we received another $42,000. There was actually about 20 some thousand received in December. So probably some contested tax payment money and stuff like that.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
For fun, I sat around and listened to the Board of Trustees meeting yesterday. I don't know why, but I did. And then one of the things that was interesting to me is the city was forecasting, I think, around an 18% increase in budget from tax revenue. And then they had pretty solid figures for that. And then I just say that because right now we're forecasting it, but 32% increase. But I think what you're saying is it's going to tail off. Right now we're almost matched at what our forecasts are. So anything beyond that is pretty much going to be beyond what we've been kind of expecting or something like that.
Well, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, so the difference...
Am I getting ahead of myself? Or
No. So basically, in terms of real estate tax revenue, we have about 6%, 7% over.
Okay.
And it's these special other taxes that usually start to make up towards the end of the year. That basically fills that last piece of value. So Todd, I think you're working on the complete income stream.
Yeah.
And this just breaks it out and shows you where all that's coming from in individual line items.
So what's an example of a special other tax?
Car registrations.
Or new car tax.
Sorry to put in. It sounds like there's some problems with those. Do they have it wrong or do
we should be wrong? They should be on 355.1.
So
the website that says 3551. Click on it, it auto populates to 3550.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this should be.
Sorry
to
interrupt.
I appreciate it.
Is that another one for the checklist?
Okay.
And then I think this is great. What I was trying to get at is that what our fiscal year is December, right? Mm-hmm. So we got 2.5 more months comes in, and then if we come in over, then we have to look at what we're going to do with those funds at some point, right? You know, we put it in, it'll go into some sort of reserve account, but then at that point, you know, do we like look at buying a tender or upgrading some equipment or things like that? And then all I gotta say is equipment around here gets expensive very quickly. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I was gonna ask about that when we did the 2022 proposed budget.
Yeah, Ian already had that forth. We're going to look at that a little bit in the last sheet, just to do a real quick review of some of those numbers. It's a healthier budget than we had this last year.
Yeah.
One second. Yeah, we had actually like $140,000 of earned income that we carried over from last year. So that's in these, you know, it's in our like unreserved funds. Mm-hmm.
The town also did that too. Mm-hmm. And their comment was they did better during COVID than they expected. And they had extra funds. They didn't think it is again, and then they're doing it again. So they're kind of adjusting it for it.
We look back at previous years, and there were years that, you know, the
recording in progress.
Meetings with people out.
But there were some years where the department overspent, and some years where we underspent. Last year we underspent, which was good. So we had some carryover funds, which is good.
Yeah. This year we're probably going to end up carrying some funds over just because of staffing underruns. We won't know that until we get closer to the end of the year, what that looks like.
Yeah, if you go to that next sheet, I mean, I think that in income wise, it looks like we're going to just maybe hit kind of close to where we expected as far as income, unless something big comes in at the end of the year. If we do this 42,000 like we did last year, approximately, you know, then we'll just kind of get there a little bit over, you know. Last year we exceeded income, our projected income, by a fair amount. It's like maybe 100,000 or something like that. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head.
For something, it's around about 10%, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's fairly normal. So we basically work on that. Work off of the county treasurer's best guess tax collection numbers. They're always a little bit off.
So then if there's no questions here, let's go to the expense. And expense wise, we do, you know, whereas on income, you know, I just kind of show a evenly distributed income of that $983,000 every even distribution every month, which isn't how we receive income by any stretch. But as far as spending, we're pretty close to being pretty consistent month to month. So this is a reasonable snapshot of where we are with expenses. For September, we were $15,000 underspent. according to that evenly distributed expenditures. And then right now we're approximately $96,000 underspent for the year. We typically, I think in October, we have the pension payout, which is like $39,000, something like that.
That's about to go out. They'll go out tomorrow. So, yeah.
Okay. So we'll see in October, we'll be overspent. So realistically, going through the rest of the year, we're probably, I think, coming somewhat close to what our plan was, our budget plan was. By the people.
Next questions? Okay, ahead of
me. Okay, and I think we're next page is summary. And I just say, I don't see any reason to really adjust at this point in time, except for what you just pointed out as far as the reserve. We should adjust that. So I'll make a note of that and talk to Kathy, and we'll include you on that again. And then also, this is the budget that Ian proposed. And you know, you can see that the tax revenues are projected to be significantly higher. Everything in red is just, I just said, okay, if it's 25% greater than previous year's budgeted number, I'm just gonna put it in red just to kind of make it stand out. And as you can see, we're expecting a much healthier income than we did in 2021. Now we do get a statement at the end of the year that gives us a prediction of what that really is. So we will see if that number is on target, right? Yes. We get that, I think, sometime in November.
When do we get that? December the 3rd.
December 3rd?
Is the deadline. Yeah. We may get it sooner than that, but then that's when it turns up.
Yeah, so we'll be able to check that. You can see it administration-wise, even though, you know, we've increased salaries and made that adjustment, we're still not 25% greater in that realm. Communications were 25% greater, emergency medical services 25% greater. Firefighting, a healthy amount more, mainly vehicle maintenance. So one of the things that I think is one of the tenets that we wanted to concentrate on was safety. And part of that safety is training. It's equipment upkeep and providing the right, you know, PPE equipment, everything for the team. So you can see training budgets increased. You can see reserves increased, which is due to PPE being a much healthier expenditure in this budget.
Why is there such a jump in communications?
Just allowances for, so basically,
this is a long story. It's about the cost of one radio, isn't it?
Yeah, it is about the cost of one radio, unfortunately.
Okay.
So basically, there's a, between us and Gilpin County, there's a kind of split in the way that we're working radios, we're working on VHF, they're working on 800 megahertz digital, and they've gone fully over to that. And we're stuck in the middle, and we kind of have to start going in that direction. So I basically padded out the communications budget a little bit. And hopefully we'll be able to find some grant opportunities in there. So that will just become a grant match for that.
So it's just updating communication equipment to a more current standard.
Yeah, so we basically have two types at the moment. Two types of radios. One costs about $180 and the other one costs about $6,000. So yeah, it's an ongoing chase to try and catch those up. And last year, the year before, I can't remember which, we had a grant that helped buy eight new 800 megahertz radios, which is $6,000. So that was good, but we still need more of them, and we need them in the vehicles. And this, like I said, it's an ongoing process of updating.
But there are little things, right? About that $800 or that whatever cheap radio also has little things that will ignite it, right? Because you're a little spark in it. So you go in, these guys go in and use the cheap radio. They could actually set off a fire.
Yeah.
With the cheap ones, no?
Yes. They're not. Thank you.
That's yeah. Whereas the Motorola ones, the ones that Kyle's carrying, right? He can go in there and he knows he can take that into a safe location. Or he can take it in there and he knows he's not going to. It's safe. So.
Gotcha. So if there's like an unknown flammable gas floating around,
yeah.
That radio won't spark.
Yeah. Gotcha. And when I was going with it, is I was when I saw the communications number, I was expecting it to be higher.
Right.
Just because of the switch, you know, going to my experience, 800 megahertz. And then we haven't even gone into whatever digital communication and trying to secure that, which would even do more. Is this something we have to move to accept or something?
No, this is just information. So on the agenda, we have an item for discussing the budget. If you have anything to discuss in there, I can walk you through the budget, mm-hmm. what the thought process is, and the direction that we're trying to take with that. So yeah, I mean, the big change here in the firefighting budget, most of that is PPE. So just to do some history catch up. A lot of our PPE is reaching the end of its normal life. So it has a 10-year lifespan. Each set of PPE costs about $2,500.
Plus three.
So about $3,000 for each person. And that's just structural firefighter PPE. That's the expensive one. So we're starting to set money aside or buy new gear. And then also we have, you know, bringing on a lot of new trainees. So we have 10 left in our group at the moment. So we like budgeting so that we have PPE for them to get a fire academy as well. So all that's rolled into there. And then, like Todd said, a few other items that we increased our vehicle maintenance budget, and we'll go through this anyway in a minute. So that's kind of where you're seeing those jumps in numbers. Where did you get to? Sorry.
What's that?
Could you finish with this?
Yeah, this is just a snapshot for the board here to see where there are significant increases.
Okay.
Like I said, you're going to go into the budget in more detail later.
Any other questions?
Not me.
So apologies to the public who just joined. I just fixed the link for tonight's meeting. I'm going to fix the link for all the other meetings. It's a cut and paste error on my part. Chief Support, Acting Chief Schmidman.
All right. I actually also have Fire Marshal's report as well.
Okay.
So we are at 325 calls for the year. We were about 35 to 40 calls less than last year at this time. Clearly, our fire marshaling stuff's working. We have just hired Connor Moran for our vacant captain's position. The application process and assessment center went really, really well. We had a very large participation from our volunteer firefighters as well as paid staff. I wanted to extend a huge thanks for everyone who was part of that. So that was a big undertaking. So that went really well. Kyle has been working on elite field and image trend, which are used for our electronic patient care reports and also our incident managing system. We're working on piggybacking on Mountain View's system so we can save costs and also easy to align ourselves with the rest of the county. This package is also, there's also a possibility that we could get a product called Target Solutions, which can help track trainings as well as certifications. We just got minutes ago, at least many minutes ago. We just got the cost on that, and we're in the neighborhood of $6,000.
Six, it's like just under six for the data management for in person for the EPCR, and then there's a bunch of add-on costs for scheduling and other options that we have.
Yeah, so it's $5,850 per year for the EPCR and the CAD distribution. And then the other add-ons, like Kyle said, were investigations, the calendar inspections, and then the target solutions. And those are not the smallest of numbers. So I think we're going to sort through a bunch of that and figure out what's the best solution for the agency.
Okay.
Overall, it's still lower than what we were looking at with some of the other products, like ESO and First Due.
What's the current bottom line?
Well, let's see, we have 5,850, and then the other ones with all of the add-ons, they're
16 is what I remember.
No, it's not that high.
It was ESO.
Wasn't it? I thought it was ESO. And then First Due was a little less, but then they had some add-ons.
We're looking at a little under 14,000. Total, but I think some of the stuff we may not be interested in, and the price is associated, like their scheduling is seems a bit excessive. And that doesn't include the text side, which adds an additional $500. So
I'd like to see what the scheduling offers.
Sure. So that just came in like an hour before the board meeting. So
yeah.
So anyway, Kyle's been working on that.
So the big cost savings, because I know folks have been paying attention to us going through this, for image trend versus the other options that we looked at, is that the CAD integration or the computer assisted dispatching center through Boulder has to have a plugin for our data systems to work with it. And it's about $12,000 one time fee for us to do a plugin of our own. For us to be able to have free reign choose which data package we use. By using this solution, and we are using someone else's plugin to get our data. So we're saving ourselves the upfront cost of $6,000 to $12,000 only incurring this cost and potentially a little bit of maintenance cost that we share amongst all the instances.
Okay. Thank you. All right. It looks like we finished the majority of the NAS testing. We had about five people that couldn't make the first four dates. So Connor actually, I think, was taking lead on getting that squared away. With that being said, everyone's been assigned an SCBA mask. We purchased new mask bags just to make sure that everybody can care for the masks, prevent them from being broken, etc. There may be at some point, we may have to look at getting more masks. We can have backups in vehicles and such. And we're also really thin on certain sizes now.
Yes.
So we'll have to look at that. As you discussed, we have to work on our structured gear. Looks like we've had everybody in the agency sized, including our new recruits. For gear, the intent is to order 17 sets of gear plus two sets of lightweight extrication gear. When we get the two sets of lightweight extrication gear, we can actually relieve the people who have those who aren't firefighters. We can take that gear and put that back into distribution.
Okay.
So with us having a significant amount of recruits, we're going to need all the ones gear we get. And then as you have spoken, it's we're coming up on the date where all of our stuff is expiring. So anyway, so the bid that we're looking at right now is $45,554.
Okay.
And that's for that year. And that leaves us enough. I believe we have budgeted for 25 for this year and 25 for next year. There's a big backlog in gear, so it's actually all going to end up next year anyway. For a majority of it. And that leaves us enough room for a set of structure here for the incoming chief.
That might be useful.
Just saying.
Yeah.
This month, we've written approximately 20 new SOPs and SOGs. They are in the process of going out for their first review. With that being said, we have also adopted a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policy for the district, or for volunteers and members of the district. We would be the third district in Boulder County to have one of those mandates. We got the generator outside filled because the alarms were going crazy on the panel out there. I was able to use my transfer pump for my truck, so we put about 90 gallons of diesel in that. Jay Hill's begun to create an inventory list for each apparatus and each compartment. So doing truck checks will be a lot more streamlined. So he's put a bunch of time and effort into that. Let's see. We are at, we've had five recruit academy days to this date so far. I believe we have another five to go, right? Three plus two makeups. Anyway, moving on.
I got a question. We've got, I think you said 10 recruits still in the academy now. Is that what
so
we started out with?
We're at 11. Unless we lost somebody today, I don't know that. Yeah, so we started with 13.
Sure.
We lost two this week due to personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at 11. So that is unprecedented, I'd say. You're a net fire. So it's a big undertaking. So we've also created a mentor program within the academy, had several firefighters teaching all the classes. What's nice about this is I feel like it's giving the current firefighters ownership of the success that we're experiencing right now. So that's super cool to see. In other news, we've been offered a burn building from Black Hawk Fire. This project would take significant effort. But it would be a huge, huge game changer for our department as well as agencies next door and in the mountains. If we could get a burn building in the mountains, it would be such a giant training opportunity. It's going to be still a big cost, and I'm working through what it all looks like. But having the ability to have live burns in the mountains with our neighboring agencies, not being so far out of district, really could improve the training ability of this department. So right now I've been speaking with Miranda, who is the town administrator of Netherland, about putting it up at the town shops. And she was really for it, really supportive. She wanted to talk to Chris Baltieri, who is the head of the shops, I'm not sure what his actual title is, but anyway. So he kind of runs the show over there. He was out of town until today. So hopefully we can kind of get back on track with that.
You see town shops, where's that?
So you know where the green boxes are?
Transfer station.
Oh, transfer station. Yep. Okay, yeah.
And then there's the county shops, which are right there.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
and then behind that, back in there, is the town shops.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's several reasons to put it there.
Mm-hmm.
A is that the town might be a little bit easier to actually get through the process.
Mm-hmm.
B is that there's a hydrant there, and that's one of the big things, is that there's a hydrant there. And C is there's not a lot of residences in that area. So all of those things could really be helpful, having the burn building there.
Gotcha.
The burn building new, they still make it, is about $90,000. And that doesn't include shipping or building it. So some of the costs that we would have to incur is obviously the planning, but we'd also need to speak with engineers to figure out how the foundation would have to be set up, as well as wind loads, snow loads, and that stuff. Hoping it's going to be easier due to the fact that it's not a building that somebody's going to live in. We hope. But there's, like I said, there's still going to be a bunch of challenges to get through all this. All right. Let's see. Our SCBA compressor failed this month. We were able to get a repair person up here to come and fix it. His words were, I've been waiting years for you to come up, or waiting years for you to call me to come fix your compressor, which I thought was kind of odd. But it's all repaired except for one part, which has been removed and sent away to get it repaired. So there's a flashy light that's going on, but anyway, long story short, that's fixed and in the process of being fully fixed. One thing that he did say is our compressor is no longer NFPA compliant. It's not an immediate concern, but he recommended us begin looking at opportunities to replace it. And that is big money.
Some of the pressure tanks, I know the SCBA tanks themselves, they have an expiration date to some of the high pressure
tanks. We need to get those hydroed as well.
Okay.
So that's another thing that we'll have to figure out how we're going to take care of. But yes, the tanks, the big tanks on the back is part of the cascade system. They have to be hydroed, and they have not been done. So anyway, a new unit is around $70,000. So when we're looking at our future grants, that might be something that we focus on. Let's see. We had the burn trailer up here for 3 weeks. It was really good, and we got a lot of people signed off on a lot of JPRs that we would have had difficulty doing so. In that time, we also broke the burn trailer. We spent a bunch of time trying to fix it, and we couldn't fix it, and it went. But we got to burn with Sugarloaf, and we got to burn with Timberline, and we had eight total days using the burn trailer. So that was really, really good. The only cost to us was the $300 or so for the propane. So that was money really well spent. During all that, I started talking with communication issues with neighboring districts. That's going to continue. Ian has already spoken about it. We just have to work on it, and we'll keep talking about that. We had two firefighters this past month finish their IV certifications. So that was a big effort on their part. So Andrew and Lindsay, good job. Thanks for doing that. Kyle has started his Blue Card Incident Command certification training. The intent is that we get all command staff to complete that at some point. And again, that's another significant effort. So I think it's 40 hours of online and then 3 8-hour days of testing. The department safety audit is being led by Kyle. I was delayed by 1 month due to the high demand from the captain's hiring process. 5617 is going through its 5-year major aerial testing on Tuesday. We also have two remaining ground liners that need to be tested at that time. I just want to remind you guys that 5617 also failed its pump test, and that will also have to leave the district at some point to get a bunch of pump work done. As well as, I guess, the battery started boiling this week, and so we have to replace 3 batteries, or 6 batteries, which will probably be over $1,000 to replace those batteries. We got new explosive gas detectors. They're on 5601 and 5602. 5642, the saga continues. The welder, who was going to cut the parts off and re-weld it on, got COVID. And he came back to work today, so maybe he can start working on the truck. 5601 is going back to Keter Trucking to have the front axles rebuilt again on Monday. Last three things. Our medical director is retiring December 31st. And so Boulder County, or BCFFA, is working on getting a new medical director, and they have been reaching out to me to help them with that. Currently, the candidate is Shannon Sovendahl, who's one of the ER doctors in Boulder. He's also probably the biggest medical director for most agencies around here. And so there's a cost concern with that, and I'm not really sure if we're going to incur any of that cost yet.
Okay.
So, our grant for the Lucas device, which is the CPR, Mechanical CPR times. So we have to purchase that. We're finally clear for that, but we don't think we're actually going to see the product for another 6 months. And finally, 5631, the graphics were kind of, I don't know, flaking off or something like that. And I got Husky graphics to warranty it, so that has to go down to Frederick at some point. And I got the biohazard brought down today. So that's it. All right, that's that. You guys need a break before you get the fire marshal's report?
No. All right.
On a town board of trustees meeting last night, a trustee proposed putting a floor on the residential sprinkler requirement. For example, any home less than 2,000 square feet would not be required to install sprinklers. Hendrickson, along with the town staff, are going to be discussing this further with the board member. The county will not have its wildland / urban interface requirements updated in time for our adoption. The current plan is to adopt the codes as it is currently written and do an amendment in the future when those requirements become available, if we think they are worthwhile. The town knows that they will need to do at least one other amendment at some point in the future. Routine inspections are continuing. Let's see, large projects, Kathmandu restaurant is now open. There was a glitch in the sprinkler system which caused several false alarms. We believe this has been resolved. BC Brews has resubmitted their plans for remodel. Plans are working through the process at Safebuilt and with us. The Netherland Middle Senior High School removed two fire suppression systems sometime over the past 20 years. He's asked them to provide documentation as to whom approved this removal. They'll be asked to reinstall these systems if they cannot provide documentation. Preseason inspections are done in Eldora. They have some follow-up work to do, but it's much less than in past years. There was significant pushback from town residents to the proposed building at the old town shop location. Town staff is looking at other options, and that's related to relocating the west wing of the community center.
And that was in the empty lot.
Yes, over there. Empty, yep. Mm-hmm. From the Gaudet's, planning is moving along. This year, they're going to require an annual standby for the entire event, not just for the coffin race for the polar plunge. This is due to the large number of visitors / attendees in town and the potential for multiple patients. Ned PD, Sergeant Feinleben, and I are meeting next week with the Boulder Battalion Chief, Dave Gelberlus, on start getting a better planning process in place. We're also looking at hosting a presentation on large event planning given by Mike Scott of the state of DFPC in the near future. The Town Board of Trustees approved the DDA's 2022 budget of $30,000 allocated to the NFPD for the inspection / fire marshal services. This is an increase of $5,000 from 2021. And this hot off the press, Rick is no longer going to India in a couple of weeks. It's been postponed to either spring or fall of next year.
Okay.
That's the fire marshal's report.
Backing up on that, I'd like to thank the town. The DDA for that 30K, that's very useful. 25 of that's already budgeted. The 5 is great, that's very helpful. And that effectively pays for our inspector, fire inspector's position, or a big chunk of it. So that's good news. Any questions, Chief? A lot of information in there. Sorry about that. A lot of things go on, it turns out.
I was just curious, does the team feel that, had a big change, everybody's excited. Does the team feel, are you concerned at all about burnout?
Yes. Always. I think at the end of our trainings, we started to see, a decrease in the numbers of people showing up, but not to that degree. The amount that the membership has come together over the past couple of months is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I really could say about that. It's just been, everybody's really been pulling together.
Yeah.
So the morale here is really good. It's like I've never seen before.
Thinking about burnout, how do you think hiring into that open captain spot with Connor coming back?
People are psyched.
It's good.
As far as I can tell, everybody is really happy. We've been without an A-ship for a year this month. So that's been a huge drain on us.
Getting him up to speed because he was here for a while. It's probably
Kyle worked with him yesterday. The current plan is he is going to be here for at least 8 hours a day, once a week, and for the next month or so. And I think it's a little bit more than that. But he basically asked us to give him the ability to give his employer a month to fill his slot. So he's getting up to speed, I think, pretty quick. Right? So.
Seems like bringing someone is always an additional load before they start reducing the load.
Yep. And I don't feel that way right now. And so most of his days we have scheduled for A shift, which is the shift that he's going to be filling. I think it'll work well.
Yeah. Just a note for the minutes. Obviously, I think the board would like to welcome Connor Moran back.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great asset to us. Glad he decided that he wanted to come back. I personally have, I've worked with him, been taught by him previously. I think he has a lot to offer us. So
I agree.
It's going to be great. Any other questions? Okay. Old business, I realized today. In August, I think, the board passed a motion to buy new bunker gear to the value of $25,000. And then when we made our selection, or whilst we were making our selection, the vendor said, hey, but if you place the order for next year as well, we'll give you the sweet, sweet deal. I can't remember all the details of it.
It's like 10%.
Yeah, it was like 10% plus. Reduced costs for just extrication gear or non-firefighting gear, which meant that we ended up placing an order for $45,554, but it effectively falls into two different financial years. The reason this is significant is I looked in our purchasing order policy today and I realized that when the purchase order goes over $25,000, We should put it out to, we're supposed to put out a public notice and pass a resolution for the spending. Under 25,000, it's just all board members need to sign the purchase order and agree that's going. I don't know which way the board wishes to go on this. In my opinion, it because it's really two separate purchases, and also none of it is turning up till next year, so we won't be invoiced until next year. I'm quite happy to write two separate purchase orders that would keep it under the 25,000 and move forward that way. But whichever way anybody thinks makes more sense, or if that seems a bit peculiar.
And this is the same bunker gear order that you were talking about.
Yes.
Yep.
It's all budgeted.
From my mind, since it's split between 2 years, writing two different POs actually makes more sense.
Yeah.
Right, because financially it's going to go that way. Now, if we work the deal so that their salesman can say, I booked this all at once and they get us a better deal, great. But, two POs, two different years seems to make more sense to me.
Yeah.
Hey, Carter, that was easy. Thank you. Yeah. I was banging my head on the desk earlier going, unless we did that. This one's a note for the future. Now for the exciting part, the fun part, the new business. So we have two of our members who are being promoted this evening. So Andrew Jocelyn, he's been with us since 2015.
has been promoted to lieutenant, which is long overdue. I'm glad we finally got there. Congratulations, thank you for all your hard work. Really appreciate it. To you.
We wrote the form speed, but we're not going to do it.
You're supposed to draw a little blood.
We usually see where these are going to go. But Andrew, thank you for everything that you've done for this agency. I know it's been a long time coming. I'm sorry it took us so long to get here.
It takes that long to be one, so how long it takes to do those?
A new badge is a new head flagger is coming, but there's your home expert. All of it.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Oh boy.
Let's see, one without the mask? Or?
Yeah, let's do one without the mask. Congratulations.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. And then our second promotion is Jay Hill. He's been with the agency
2 years.
Two years. Puts in an immense amount of time in this agency. Spends a lot of time here, does a lot of tasks around. He's always willing to help out, always asking what he can do, how he could be better. So again, probably a little bit overdue. Congratulations. Firefighter Hill.
Easier on the Wall Street one.
There you go. Same thing. So we have a new plaque that's coming.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Congrats, man.
So I would like to say that it's an honor to serve the community and an honor to be a part of the team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it was a fun part. It's nice doing this thing. On the subject of friend promotions.
As we've lost three members of our board this year, we do have some open board posts that we need to be filled. Basically, just a vote amongst the board to appoint people. So we have the vice president position is open and secretary is open. Has anybody got any thoughts? Would anybody like to volunteer?
Yes, anybody have desires to fill those positions?
Yeah.
I do the vice president. I can't really do the secretary. I'm dyslexic. So it really is hard for me to do those things.
Okay. So I have the same different trouble with secretary. If I start trying to take notes, I stop listening to what's going on, which means my notes aren't very good. Or then if I listen to what's going on, I forget to take notes.
Well, we have full recordings of everything, so when I remember to do them.
That would be the key. It's just if I could transcribe from a recording, then I'd have a chance.
I would certainly second Guy as vice president. I think the work he's doing on the chief search and the work he's put in since he's joined this board and just investigating and trying to bring himself up to speed in everything that happens here. Has been fairly pivotal to this, to us being able to move forward.
Yeah, so. Provided a lot of great contributions since he's been on the board.
Yeah,
I vote for that. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I abstain.
Actually, I think you have to. You kind of have to vote for yourself.
Okay. Well,
I would, board.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it becomes really difficult.
Yeah.
You can be split, but. Congratulations, Gianning.
Are you?
That's a position that you're already filling. So thank you for all that you can do. Just to be clear, the secretary position doesn't necessarily have to do the minutes, and I would like to spread that load. Jim does them mostly when he's here, but obviously with him being out for the last 6 months, I've been taking on that load, and I've just caught up, almost. I would like to suggest that we at least spread that load, even if you don't fill that position of secretary, because Jess, I don't want you to feel like you have to take it, or I think you have to take that position. Also, when Jim returns, he's got a fairly significant backlog to go through. Without any of this. And if you'd like to volunteer to be secretary, you can make that. Otherwise, I would leave that as a printing post.
So, besides meeting minutes, what are other responsibilities?
Technically speaking,
reality versus paper.
Reality versus paper. So, the paper would be producing the meeting agendas, which I tend to do anyway. I've got that pretty much sort of nailed down. Do the board minutes, and there's some filing that has to be done with the state and the county. But generally speaking, the board defers that to the chief, and that's that goes. So I'm also working through doing that for the end of this year, so that the budget being one thing. For the most part, most people who've been secretary have just been a regular board member and haven't really done any of those things. So we could continue down that road. It's not a problem.
I'd be willing to try later on, but just being a new board member, I'd like to spend several months, several meetings just to get a feel of what's going on.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't all be as odd. So I could have a chance of listening and transcribing maybe at the same time. Plus, I get hearing aids in January, so I'd be able to hear better.
Okay. So I'll just motion we leave that position open for the moment. And also the problem with the minutes is sometimes it's like super technical. If you haven't really got a handle on what we're talking about, minutes can be difficult.
I was going to say, one of the things that helped me a lot was Todd, you sent me a list of all the trucks early on. And I don't know when they were going through 5621 or 5601. You know, I saw the look in your eyes that I saw.
I figured out we were talking about a vehicle that had problems.
Yeah. Yes.
I should have that. Okay. So we'll circle back up on that at a later date, and either of you can come back, and if you feel more comfortable, come back and let me know if you'd like to fill that position. 2022 budget discussion. I posted the budget. Well, I presented the budget to the board on the 6th of October. Posted the public notice. Posted it on our website. There is a copy in our foyer, so we've met all of the statutory requirements for posting of our budget. And we are now in the public comment period. To date, I haven't received any public comments. I don't believe anybody's come in to read the budget. So if any of the board has any items they'd like to bring up or go through the budget, I'd be happy to discuss that.
Listening earlier, I learned that vehicle maintenance is under expense for firefighting. Mm-hmm. And on those board meetings that I've listened to over the past year and a half or so, it seemed that the vehicle maintenance, there were a lot of unplanned, unscheduled vehicle maintenance. And I know our roads and sometimes our firefighters are hard on the equipment.
Yes.
So when I glanced at the 2022 budget, and I'm not sure what I was looking for, so I might have overlooked it, but I didn't see much budgeted for vehicle maintenance. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's happening in 2021, because I've heard about axles for 5201, which is the 5601, which is the big red real fire engine, structure engine.
Yeah.
Did I overlook the equipment maintenance or?
So we do have $40,000 in the budget for vehicle maintenance. This year we budgeted 20,000. I think we blew through that.
Oh yeah,
so quick. So we're playing a pretty significant game of catch up at the moment with a lot of our vehicle maintenance.
Right? Now, with supply chain issues, with the amazing road maintenance around town, is this number too low?
We don't know.
So one thing that one thing that I think we also need to keep realizing is that our fleet is getting older, and the costs I think are going to continue to rise. Parts are going to become more difficult to obtain. So we're going to see a lot of that. And I know that you guys have all talked about our vehicle replacement program. But that is definitely something that the board's going to have to consider.
But then segues into my other thing. I was wondering, budgeting for new equipment, because I know there is a tradition of buying used equipment, which mm-hmm. means seems cheap up front, but then maintenance burden. And so I think, is it true the last new piece of equipment, there was a tender purchased last year? I don't know if that was new or used, but
it was used.
I think the 5641, but still that was the last new piece of gear.
31 is technically our newest.
Okay.
So that's technically our newest, and that is something we built here. We're going to build the truck itself.
And so from the budget, I was wondering, and I can, maybe I'll just be quiet and learn over time, but is there money set aside, a cookie jar to build up, because new equipment's really expensive?
There is not. I don't believe I put that in there. So we do have we came into this year with a surplus, which we have not assigned to anything. So part of the plan for that is to assign that to vehicle replacement plan. And I think that's kind of how I was looking at moving forward. I don't think I put up anything in for vehicle replacement. Not specifically that.
I don't know how it was done before, so I didn't want to.
What we could do is we could maybe, if we do have earned income that we carry over in this year, we could decide to put some of that towards a vehicle replacement reserve.
I mean, it's definitely a priority.
And I don't know enough about operations to hazard a guess of what type of equipment would be needed first, but it would seem to be prudent to start putting money into a vehicle replacement fund.
I totally agree.
Yeah, but I would, let me just say, I make a statement here in regards to just my point of view. I agree with that, but also the state of the equipment that we had, the state of the, not just vehicles, but equipment in general. We, as Ian was saying, there needed to be catch up. We needed to address some issues there. And the question to you, Charlie, is I would assume that, you know, we spent about $36,000 so far this year in vehicle maintenance. I would assume that even though our fleet is old, that we would maybe start whittling through some of the, you know, some of the issues, and that $40,000 next year might be a little over, hopefully. Or would you have any feel for that?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at, I don't know what the cost for 17 is going to be to repair. So, I mean, we have, you know, part of it's actually frozen, like the pump is actually frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a big money repair. 5603, which is a big engine in Eldora, that failed its pump test as well. And that is, you know, that truck is 89, something like that. And I don't know what that's going to take to get fixed either. You know, and we don't know what the outcome of 42 is going to be, but that's not going to be cheap either.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, they're cutting sections of the tank off and rewelding it back on, you know. So I can see that repair alone being 10 grand.
So
just to continue with that, you know, some of the things that we did this past year, we replaced all the tires on 41, the big tender, you know, because they were old. But I can tell you that the only trucks that we've really replaced tires on, 41 and 01 and 24. And everything else is aging and hasn't been replaced. And so to be compliant with like the NFPA, after 10 years, you have to ditch the tires. We have 8-1 of wheels out there.
Not much to NFPS, DAT,
yeah,
on tires.
I'm just picking a devil.
Sure.
You know.
But I mean, when I look at it, we have a huge, what I would say, equipment depreciation thing we have to cover. And we're never going to be able to cover it 40,000 at a time or something like that.
No.
And then ultimately, you know, our equipment is going to be big dollar amounts. And so in my mind, it's going to be probably a combination of some sort of fundraising or grant writing or something like that. Say, we need a new engine, we need a new, you know, ladder or something like that. And then go after that to try to be able to at least get some of the key pieces that they think are the first things to go after.
Right. And I guess what is the threshold as well, where you stop saying, or we say we're going to stop throwing good money after bad. And have we set those thresholds and put the priorities, as you said, on the most critical equipment and perhaps the biggest time and money sucks?
Yeah.
Was Jay going through the inventory stuff?
Yeah.
So you know, it might be a good, in the end, when he gets through all that stuff, you know, saying here's what it is. An estimate of, do we want to keep, do we want to,
yeah,
you know, work to get rid of or something like that?
Yeah, and at the rate the supply chains are going, especially for big customer vehicles, some of the older stuff, you may be able to scavenge viciously off of it and get some money for those parts based on everything that's going on, especially in the various industries out there. The really concerning thing is tires. Especially for heavy duty vehicles. Going into winter, yeah. Right now, BBSD cannot get a tire to save their lives. So.
You know, the other thing that we're trying to develop is a wildland program. And as you guys have probably heard maybe somewhere that there's some climate change going on. I don't know. Fires are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And a great way for our crew to get the experience is just sending them out on deployment. We don't really have any vehicles that meet that bill. ideally, we'd like to see at least a brush truck that we could send out, and the amount of money that that vehicle can bring back to our agency is pretty significant. Sugarloaf sent a vehicle out 2 years ago that they bought for $25,000. They sent it out three times and made $50,000.
Does it seem on the budget that we had $26,000 you're waiting for a wildland
repaid?
No, that's this year. So basically what we do is for department members and staff to go out on deployment, not members. We front the payments for their wildland deployment. So they come back and we run all the billing through the department. So we'll pay them 85% upfront once the state or whoever's paying the bill has agreed that the bill is payable. And then it takes anywhere between 30 to 60 days, say, for the money to come back in. Yeah. And then once that comes in, then we'll do other 15% to them. Okay. So we've got it acting as a bank for them on that front, and that's what that deployment money is. So we will see very little of that.
Yeah.
So we get a 1% overhead on that billing that we make, and a little bit for workers' comp.
It's
the equipment
they make. Yeah, most of the agencies make a lot of money. Now, one other thing I'm going to leave you with before I shut up is that when we're talking about all the safety things that we're trying to do for our firefighters, the vehicles fall way behind on that. So you look at how old our vehicles are and safety features that they don't have. A lot of our trucks only have a lap belt. They have no airbags. They have dangerous steering wheels. They have all metal parts of the car on the inside that can be catastrophic in a crash. They have crappy old brakes. And whether the brakes are up to code or up to date or not, they're still old. They're still old and they're still not as good as they should be. So we keep driving the safety home. That's one of the big things that we need to focus on.
Yeah, I don't think in the last 2 years we focused a lot on PPE, getting that up to speed, and getting that good. We did the hose testing this year, that generated a nearly $15,000 replacement for hose that could have failed under pressure, which would be possibly catastrophic for anybody that was near that.
Yeah.
So you know we're working through that, but the vehicle thing is mind numbing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a structure engine to replace 601, we're looking at $750,000-ish. You know, nearly a million bucks, somewhere between those two.
That's like our year budget,
for
everything.
Yeah,
exactly. So you know, obviously we're trying to chase grants for that. Really, even at a 50-50 match, we're still looking at $350,000 to $500,000. A huge upfront sum.
Would it make sense to anyone to add a line item separate from vehicle maintenance for vehicle acquisition? And it's okay if it's zero for a while, but maybe that zero would remind us that that requires some long-term planning.
There is a line item in QuickBooks for it, but it doesn't show it because it's zero.
Oh, okay.
I think. Unless I took it out. We tried to push that last year. Kind of got pushed off the grant. Off of the budget. But yes, I agree. We need to do that. And just so you know, that's one of the things. One of the things that's top of the list for the new chief is like sort of figure out how we're going to do this.
Okay.
Or get us a plan, because there is basically no plan.
Isn't the capital reserve kind of that line
item? I'm not really sure what that's for.
I mean,
it's clear.
It's capital. But how much do you think we're going to spend on the repairs this year? Just rough.
I'm going to hope for 40.
40K?
Yeah.
About 40K.
You know, honestly, Todd, one of the big things that it has to do with is how much do we train?
Yeah.
I don't want to say how sad that sounds, but if we have a great training year, stuff breaks every time.
Yeah.
It really does.
Better than breaking. Of course, we'll probably break on calls too.
But sure. No, absolutely. But it's the more you use it, the more it's going to break.
So 40 in addition to the 36 we already spent
for next year?
for this year.
Oh, no. Oh, you're saying how much more this year?
This year.
$115,000
Okay. I think we might have somewhere in the neighborhood of like $120,000 that we could going into next year, mm-hmm. even with covering the first 2 months of next year. You know, so we probably could put a significant chunk into capital reserve and call it.
So one thing to note is that for the next 2 years, we'd be fairly clear about what our budget looks like. So the increase in property taxes in Boulder County was around, on average, 22%. And that reflects very heavily on.
Is that every year or every other year?
Every other year, okay. they redo that. So our budget's going to be around about that. So that's something, that's kind of use the phrase unexpected bonus. But that's basically letting us play catch up on a lot of things that we couldn't do before.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously being a property tax funded agency, it's very difficult to look very far into the future. I did have a brief look if we could implement use taxes within the town. So basically things to remember is that a very large proportion of our calls are medical, and a very large proportion of those calls are people who don't live in our fire district.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be interesting to see if we can find ways to recoup some of that time, effort, and money that goes into that. So like an additional sales tax, but based on the calculations I did, that didn't really generate a lot of money based on the amount of work it might take. But, Guy, did you speak to the town? Were you discussing that with the town, and they were keen to help us look at options and
look at options and what to do.
Fund things better.
Right.
So, question from personal experience. So, my youngest and I got to go on an ambulance ride, and fire department helped us, got us to Boulder Falls until we could get to a pediatric AMR ambulance.
Yeah.
So I received a bill from AMR. Nothing from you all. That's so. Is there? Yeah. How does that work? And not that I want to add a bill to my medical costs, but no. You know, is there? You know,
so
is there any way to recoup costs through that billing cycle?
Very, very difficult. So you obviously, as a resident mm-hmm. or property owner of Netherlands, your property taxes are paying for the department. Hence, those services are free. If you're from outside of the area. Trying to do billing is incredibly complicated. It has a very low recovery rate and a very high cost rate. So I don't know really whether that would work.
It's probably more trouble than it.
But that's been the general idea.
But there is an advantage if we did that, if we can get the funding, you know, that would give us essentially funding essentially driven towards where people are using it. And one of the things that you talk about that I've heard from people is we do that transfer halfway down the canyon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at least, you know, I'm president of Netherwood Area Seniors, and somewhat one of the seniors commented that it was in the middle of winter and they did the transfer. We were quick, but it's still a transfer, right? As opposed to just drive all the way down mm-hmm. and then take them to the hospital. Right. So
The ambulances have a district for.
Right. Well, it creates a bunch of logistical problems for us. Yeah. You know, and stuff. But, you know, if we can get the funding, could we essentially afford enough ambulance to be able to run out of district and then have one here? But if we don't have the equipment, so it's a lot of.
That would be a huge.
It drives a lot of things, you know, if then else then. Right. You know, so.
And it's not just the ambulance, we use the paramedic.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a bigger thing.
And I think we were a special case since we were a Pete's call.
Right.
So.
One good thing I would say about, you know, it's going to be the data, you know, these data packages that we're looking at is it does automate billing a little bit better. It moves forward. Basically, it comes through us. We put the information to the computer. Then the computer, that all of that data can go to a billing agency, and then they can bill it directly from our support. And we'll just now the way that billing is done is usually done ALS or ALS1, ALS2, and BLS. It's like a flat rate billing, something like that. And it makes it a little bit simpler based off of the fact that we're taking this next step toward within our EPCRM data management system to investigate something like that. The thing that gets a little bit hard is that a lot of times it's based on the load files. And so the fact that we don't transport somebody very far means that sometimes our total reimbursement rate is not very high.
The thing it does, though, is it changes kind of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, as our agency itself. Now we're billing each person that we're caring for, and I think that blurs our vision.
I know if you buy a fishing license or something, also buy a search and rescue coupon, so I can get myself all wrapped around the tree or something in the mountains, and I don't have to pay something like that. And I guess that fund is there to reimburse the agencies because the people being rescued don't get charged. Does the department, does the Fire Protection District recoup anything from that?
No, because technically rescues belong to the Sheriff's Department, the Fire Department. And so I think that's why that happened. So basically that recoup with Rick Henderson is here, he can explain this better because we had this conversation. So basically that fund is there to reimburse like rescue agencies like RMR or our fund rescue.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really trickle down to us.
Okay.
What about the thought of tax on day passes at Eldora?
So that was the use tax thing I was talking about.
For the special district.
Yeah. And so that I believe requires us changing from a special district into a taxing authority.
Right.
That's a whole change of status. So a fairly large chunk of work, but I looked at the towns, what they get in sales tax. It's not that much, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But then they also don't collect on that.
I just wanted to say that I'd like to make sure the board heard what Charlie said about the brush truck, because that's a really unique situation where if you send a crew out in your truck versus them getting on a plane and flying to California, if you drive your truck to California, it's a money maker.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the only apparatus at a fire department that actually is a money maker. And a tender would be the same thing.
Yeah.
We just hope for a good monsoon summer.
Yeah, I mean the downside is you're going to big parks, but
that's also the upside for
we're sending them to California.
Yeah, I'd rather send them out and get somebody pay them to train them, and then we get the cash for it.
And the expertise.
And
yeah.
Shirley, you also said that they built the brush truck for 70. How much did you say they built that truck for?
This truck?
Or the brush truck that the other agency sent out.
Oh, they bought a used one from the city of Boulder for like $23,000. I think they sent it out for three rotations. So that's three 14 day spins. And they got that close to $50,000. So one of the things that I was looking at, we spoke about this, we don't have to talk about this now, but we have one of our old wildland trucks should be offline at this point. We should be able to scavenge, like you said, the parts from it. We can get a new cab and chassis for it. We could get close to what we need to get done with the parts of the car.
So I guess a lot of those kinds of decisions or thoughts are waiting for the new chief.
I think so. I think the drive is within the department to do that. But obviously, we're a little bit in limbo.
Well, the other part is that the people who run the vehicle don't have to be from our agency.
Yeah.
They just have to be qualified. And a lot of agencies, like, will bring a truck out to California, we'll drive it out there once, and then they'll just send people out on a plane rotating through. So people do best. Something that's done. Often.
Yeah, my suggestion was buy a vehicle in California.
Just there.
Just like park it in a Walmart parking lot. Pick it up and take it to the
You can't charge for the mileage then.
Exactly. No, you can charge every day for it.
drives every day.
Okay.
And then you don't have to worry about the pump freezing.
And some of those trucks are making $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a significant program. And there's also the option, just a bit more history, bringing up speed. It technically provides a local area employment opportunity as well, because we can employ people as wildland firefighters.
Yeah.
And then send them out on deployment. But it's a very wide ranging option. Works for us and works for them. And I know the agencies around us are doing this and making a lot of money.
And something you could do is anything that comes off of those trucks could go directly into a capital fund earmarked for other new vehicle expenses.
I'd also break out some of the funds towards training for the people going out.
Yeah, but
stuff. So, but yeah.
But if they're also getting training while they're there,
well,
real life experience.
Yeah, I was more thinking like training, because they've got the training that we've done here. Mm-hmm. So we're sending out our seasoned people, then we're taking that and then driving it into the people that are like recruits, so become seasoned.
We can recoup our
It's kind of a cycle.
But we
same could, thing with maintenance, or you know, just people, equipment, right. Same thing.
Right, but there would be an opportunity to help fund those things outside of our current tax base.
Yeah,
and. And it seems like you could get a couple trucks up for about 50-60 people have used current truck market notwithstanding.
Current truck market notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So new ish cost brushed up about 160, I think. Mm-hmm. You figured. So you know you can recoup the cost of about 5 years quite easily. And then you don't have that unknown maintenance overhead that we discussed earlier. So that's another option, something we can look into deeper. But Patrick, who used to be on the board, his agency was trying to buy a number of brush trucks. They were like 12 months out. Mm-hmm. They didn't even see him. And the people we bought a tender from, they said they couldn't make them faster. So they had like a 6 month backlog. So, you know, this idea is at least probably a year out. I thought you might want to put something together next year, at least in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But anything further afield, I think we're kind of a little bit further out. But yeah, I mean, anybody has any ideas about other capital input schemes to bring money in?
Horses making buys and selling $2 a pop.
Okay, that's that.
The realistic whole picture of this is that we're not talking about a one member, just so like a $70,000 truck. We're talking about many millions of dollars that need to be accumulated and then redistributed here. So it's probably all of these schemes together.
Yeah.
The only way that actually
comes. Yeah. All in all, it's kind of a lot of work.
We just stage old fashioned stagecoach. Hold-ups. All filling out of state tabs.
One of our new tweets is a professional gambler. I learned the other week that one of our current members used to be employed to play poker. So, you know, there's that, but I don't think that's entirely.